men has got the same move with every club. I'm the only golfer with the feeling of greatness. I'm the only golfer living that's got the master move and the feeling of greatness.
Hey, welcome to the Feeling of Greatness podcast. I'm here with Retro Labrija. I'm so excited today to have him on the show because I got to tell you that we've been waiting for a single plane winner out there on a major tour. And I'm not surprised by any means because I know how talented Roberto is and I know him really well in his golf swing. But it is so great to see what's going on. So I brought Roberto on the show today and I'm so excited to talk to him because this is very exciting. And a little background, though, about Roberto is talent. It's just the word that I have to use when I talk about Roberto is how talented, and he's such a great guy. You got the combination of two very important things to me are not only an incredibly great golfer, incredibly talented person, but a great person and human being. So, Roberto, thank you so much for spending the time with us. I know you're busy. I know you have to get to it. You probably playing a practice round today. Are you there playing a practice round? Yeah.
Well, I play a couple practice rounds these few days, so I'm only going to play 9 holes today, so I got some time.
Oh, you've played the course probably before.
Yeah, it's my it's like my weekend home course, so I know it better than I know my own hands. So,
sometimes there's more pressure when you're on your home course because you expect a birdie every single hole. So yeah, no. So, fill me in because we haven't had a chance to talk much. I know texting all week. You know, you played well the first round. I know you had a lot of confidence going into the last couple of rounds. Is that the course? I had a question. Is that the course you shot 62 on last year?
It's not. Actually, it's the course I'm playing this week is the one that I shot 62 last year.
Got it. Yeah. So, man, great playing last week. It was so exciting. Tell me about it. I just want to hear, you know, walk me through in some detail of just, you know, it's your first tournament of the year. Is it the first tournament on that tour this year?
Second one, actually. But, it was like it was like one of the first big ones. And so I started off the first round. I played really well the first day, shot 3 under, made a couple. I started off with some bogeys, but then I managed to play pretty well the rest of the day. And then the second round, I actually was playing well, but those greens that we were playing were super quick. And I missed a couple of short putts and suddenly I think I was even with like 4 holes to go that the second round. And I finished with 3 birdies, which really helped me to get back in. I think I started off 1 back of the lead. I was 6 under through 2 rounds. The leader was 7. Yeah. Of course it's kind of an old school course, very tight off the tee, a lot of trees, not too long, but, started off the last round and I started off with an easy par on the first hole. Then on the second hole, I actually lipped out for a hole in one, the par 3. So I was just an easy tap in. And then from there, I started to just didn't miss a shot for like 5 holes. I went 5 birdies in a row.
Wow.
But the guy behind me started off birdie hole in one. So I was like, I still had to, I even after 5 birdies, I think I was still like tied with him. So I knew I still had to keep it going. And then on hole 9, it was a par 5. I hit a really nice drive. I think I had like 9 iron and I hit a good one and it just popped right next to the pin and went over the green. And it was just one of those days. I had a little chip shot and I just hit it and I knew it was going to go in. And I lifted the club with like 3 feet to go and it just went in and went crazy.
You made an eagle there.
29. Yeah. The front.
So walk me through this because look, I know you well. I've played golf with you. I know how good you are, but it's still hard. It's still hard out there. You know, I mean, there's a lot of good players out there and to win on anytime, any place, anywhere is difficult. I don't know how people know how difficult it is. And then you're dealing with, you know, your emotional side of it. And your dad was probably there. Your dad's there the whole time. Cause I saw some of the videos he sent me.
My grandpa was there.
Oh, your grandpa was there. That's great. It's just hard. It's hard to win. So, I mean, and I know right now you gain a little bit of, it's like you have a little stockpile of confidence that you get from a win. And I know you're feeling a little more confident now. And I think it's great. I think it's just going to be a momentum builder for you. Now you know you can do it. Now you know what it takes. Not that you didn't know what it took before, but just getting over that hump, you know, a little, because last year you played really well. I mean, you had
in the Mexican tour, the season starts kind of, it has a weird schedule because it starts in August and it goes from August till like June. So this tournament I won is still part of the season that started in August. And before this tournament, I think I played like 5 tournaments, and in all of them, I'd been in the lead and I wasn't able to capitalize. There was a tournament in like November. I had a 2-shot lead with like 5 holes to go, and the other guy made like 3 birdies and just flipped me. And it's just hard to deal with that. And even though I was playing incredible, you know, the other guy played just a little better. So it's just hard to get that win and make the putts you need to make at the right time, hit the shots you need to hit. And it felt amazing just to be able to make those putts that I needed, because I'd been kind of struggling a little bit with my putting. I mean, not putting bad, but just wasn't making the putts I needed to make. And this last round, I mean, I just made everything. I don't think I missed a single putt the entire day, even though there was a hole on 17, because on 16 was a very tricky hole. It was like a huge dogleg left, and you had to hit a big draw to hit it in the fairway. And I thought I hit it perfect. And I mean, I was 9 under by this point in the final round. And I thought I hit it perfect. I even club twirled it and everything. I went and I started looking for my ball and I couldn't find it. And I'm like, where is this ball? And apparently there was like a hanging branch and it like hit the branch and it went in the water. I had to drop from like 230. I had to hit like a 70-yard hook to just get it back close to the green. Somehow I did it, and I ended up like right next to the green and chipped it close and made the putt. And then on 17, I knew the guy behind me was playing really well, so I knew I kind of maybe needed one more birdie. And then on 17, it was a par 3. I hit a really nice shot, but it spun back to the front. I probably had like a 15-footer from the fringe, and I just putted, and it just went right in the middle of the hole. It was pretty crazy, yeah.
So that was final round. You hit it in the water in the final round on 16.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's like that, the adversity that happens, and you hit a good shot and it went in the water, you know, and that's what's so tough about it. And then being able to mentally compose yourself to not only make par there, because you dropped and made par there.
Made bogey.
Oh, you made bogey there, and then to make birdie on that next hole. That's tough. That is tough. Yeah. Congratulations. That's a big deal. That's just being able to do that. Cause I mean, I've been there and it's just the composure it takes. Cause when that ball is in the water, you're like, really? You're like, I mean, this was, you're going to win by 5 shots if that doesn't go in the water, you know? So yeah.
It was, the good thing was that I knew that even though it went in the water, it was a tough hole. So I knew that even a bogey wasn't the end of the world. But I actually got lucky because we had no idea where that ball was, and no one saw it. Everyone, all the gallery was behind the tee and in the previous hole. So no one saw it. Unfortunately, one of the guys in my group, we went back to, there was a little lake, literally like 100 yards behind of where we were looking for my ball. And he looked in the water and he saw my ball. Wow. And he's like, yeah, your ball's here. And I'm like, wow, thank you. So I would have had to go back to the tee.
So just for the audience listening, so if you lose a ball and you can't identify where it went, you have to go retee the shot unless you find the ball. So if Roberto would not have found that ball, he would have hit it off the tee, which has taken a stroke and distance penalty, which would have been probably double bogey easy. Right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Wow. Well, man, you needed good luck. You deserved it because last year you had some bad luck, you know, last year. So that's a good shot with bad luck and then good luck on top of that. So you deserved every bit of that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And on that last hole, it's a short par 4, but there's like OB left and then trees to the right. And usually I hit driver there every day and hit it close to the green. But I was like, I knew I had like a 2 or 3 shot lead. So I was like, there's no need for me to hit a driver. And I hit a 4-iron, perfect, right in the middle of the fairway. I had this toughest shot in the whole course. I had like trees blocking me to the green, OB long. I mean, the pin was tucked. I was like, what did I do? Somehow I hit a good shot. I got so lucky. Like, there's no shot. It went right through the branches, right? Because there's a hanging tree by the green. Went right through like 1 or 2 branches, hits like right next to the hole, and then spins back to the middle of the green. Easy 2-putt to finish with a par. So yeah, it was I think I deserved a little bit of luck because,
yeah,
man, golf is a tough sport sometimes.
Well, here's the thing I know about you, and one thing I really enjoy about you is your attitude and your sense of humility and your sense of comedic relief. Sometimes I just laugh at some of the stuff that you talk about on the golf course because it is so hard out there, and you have a great sense of, you have a great attitude about it. I mean, you can go out there and hit the worst shot in the world and it doesn't really seem to bother you at all, you know? And I love that about the way you play golf, because I don't think I play like that. I think sometimes I take myself too seriously. And I know when I competed, sometimes I put too much pressure on myself, and you have a really good, and maybe that's been part of our relationship. Me helping you with your swing has been, I've really enjoyed the fact that it really wasn't about, hey, Todd, you know, help me fix my swing. It's really about, hey, let's just see if we can get better at this game. And we know it's a hard game, and let's just dial this thing in and close in on this gap of hitting a better golf shot, you know, and better ball striking. And you have definitely done that. I mean, I think the way you swing a golf club now, and you send me videos all the time, I mean, it's great. What do other players say about your swing out there?
They actually like it a lot. A lot of the players, they tell me I have a really, really solid swing. Actually, there's some guys on the tour here that have asked me, hey, we're interested in maybe going to see Todd. Like, they all really like that I have a lot of space in between, yeah, like my hips and my arms where they club. So there's a lot of space that I have, and I don't really have to jump at it or move out of the way. And I mean, one thing that I think that has really helped me is that I can hit shots now that I couldn't hit before. For example, before I couldn't really hit like a 3/4 8-iron or a half swing pitching wedge, which would, because my swing, I used to almost always just try to hit a full shot, and I would have no control over those like 3/4 shots, which, for example, in this course were very, very key to giving yourself chances, because some of the greens were kind of soft, so they would spin back. Others were firm, so you kind of had to calculate all that. And yeah, it's just it's been a journey, but I really like the way I swing now, especially the fact that I don't have to think about my technique when I'm out there. Right. I just feel a nice setup, and then I just swing, and usually the ball will kind of do what I want. But I mean, obviously, I still miss shots, but yeah, and one of the things you were saying, for example, I started the tournament, first hole of the tournament, I hit it to like 15 feet for birdie. I putted it, it lips out, it goes to like 3 feet, and I miss it coming back.
It's so
I'm like, oh, no, please, no.
But golf is such.
I started the tournament with 6 holes without making a par. I went bogey, birdie, bogey, 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 birdie. I was like, what is going on?
Well, at that level, right? When you play at that level, the little things, it's all the little things. I mean, you know, everybody out there is pretty good, right? And it's just, it's those little things. It's overcoming that 3-putt on the first hole and overcoming the fact that you're like, man, I just got to get comfortable out here, and then getting some momentum in the round, and then finishing the round and hitting a bad shot, getting a bad break, but still making a bogey. It's all those things, man. It's just, it's that minutiae, just everything gets accentuated. I remember one time I was playing in the US Open qualifier, and I was hitting it really well, but I was just struggling out of bunkers. I mean, just hit it in a bunker, I'm making bogey or double. I just greenside bunker. I just don't know why I couldn't hit it out of a bunker. And so all round, I just played away from the bunkers. I just aim it to the right side, aim it to the left side, you know, And on the last hole, I'm like 3 under going to the last hole, and I got a couple shot lead, and I tug it coming into the final hole, and I hit the bunker, you know, and left, I short side myself left on the green, and I make double, you know, and it's like the game will find a way to bring out that weakness. It will, it just has, you know that is, if you have a weakness, the game will, especially in competition that you're playing in, it will find that weakness, but it builds, it makes you so much stronger as a player when you learn those things to overcome it. You're working with a mental coach. Are you still working with that same mental coach right now?
Yeah, I mean, I don't talk to him that much, but yeah, I talk to him sometimes, and especially the things that I think he was a guy that he would always kind of tell you the same things. So all the times that I work with him, it's the same thing. So it's great to, even if I don't talk to him as much, he taught me a lot, and there's things that he taught me that I take into my game. For right. example, on the, he always talks about how you can't be focused on the result. For example, I didn't hear from him, but it's very similar. But I was on YouTube the other day, and I was watching a golfer. It's a pretty good golfer, and he said, in golf, we actually don't make pars, we don't make birdies, we don't make bogeys. What we do is we hit shots. And all you have to do is hit one shot at a time, and the results will come, you know? Like a birdie will come after you hit a nice drive or after you hit a nice second shot and make a good putt, but you can't make a birdie off the tee or off the second shot.
Yeah. Would you think
you have to hit a shot to get there?
Do you think that the same thing applies to score? I mean, total score. So if you apply that, sure. Yeah, it has to, because you're like, we just hit shots and then we end up with a score, right? That you just hit the shot. Yeah. And so I think when people get wrapped up in their score, it's just because you can look at people's rounds. Like if you would have shot, like you shot 63 and you shot 63 the last round, right? In this tournament, right? But if you look at a 75, you hit some good shots in that 75, right?
I mean,
you probably had a couple holes, maybe made a double or three putted a few times, but overall that score had a lot of good in it. And if you, and the bad thing was just a bad break, or you hit a couple bad shots or whatever, but it's not a bad round. It's just, there's some bad elements there that you got to go work on. So it's just an accumulation of shots that end up with the score. I think people get way too caught up in score. I mean, I don't even really keep score.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. And then, for example, I have a cousin who, if you see him on the range or if you just see him hit his driver, you think he's like a tour player, but he can't break a 78 because he'll make a double from like 120 yards. Mm-hmm. And you can't do that. You know, you can't, especially at the level we play now, you know, one shot can cost you everything.
Everything.
One shot. And it's just, it could be a bad decision. It could be you hitting it to the wrong place, hitting the wrong club, or just having a tough break or something. But after all, it's just an accumulation of all the shots you hit. And for example, I didn't go out that final round thinking, oh, I'm going to shoot a 63, you know?
Right.
I just wanted to go out there and play well, hit some good shots. I knew I was playing well. I knew I was hitting my wedge as well. I knew I was going to give myself chances if I kept it in the fairway, especially that back nine. You know, that back nine, I didn't even take the driver out. I just hit 3 woods off the tee.
Yeah.
And my 3 wood was going a long way, so it was fine. Even there's some par fives I hit 3. Actually, I took one driver out on a par five, but there's another par five. I knew, for example, right now with my driver, I can't hit draws anymore with my driver, which I used to always try to hit. It's always now a straight ball or a fade.
Right.
And there's this par five, hole 12, that there's some hanging branches on the left side. First day, I hit a good drive there. But second round, I kind of saw those trees and I went right. And you have to lay up from there. And that last round, I knew, you know what, my 3 wood, it's the opposite. It's either a straight ball or a draw. Or I can hit a fade, but I feel more comfortable hitting a draw with a 3 wood. And that hole calls for a draw. So I was like, I told my caddy, no driver here. Give me the 3 wood. I'm going to hit a little draw in there. It's going to run out. I'm still going to be able to hit the green in two. I hit the 3 wood probably like 320 yards because it kept on rolling. I had iron into the green. And if I would have taken the driver, you know, like all the other guys in my group, I might have hit it a little right and it could have been a different story, because I ended up making birdie on that hole. If I would have have to lay up, maybe I make a par, the other guy behind me makes a birdie or an eagle and he ties me or something. So there's sometimes some decisions you take are very important, and you just gotta trust how you feel and what you think is best for that hole. And it's really easy to get ahead of yourself, start thinking of, oh, I need to make birdie here, I need to hit it, whatever, you know, like I just made a bogey, I need two more birdies to come back. It's really hard to stay away from that. But if you learn how to just enjoy that shot you're hitting and to the best of your abilities, try to hit the best shot you can, and then just forget about everything else. Just concentrate completely on that shot, which is very easy to say but hard to do out there. You're gonna do better, because your results are gonna be better. Because like I said, the score is just a result, you know. No one goes out there, and no, even Tiger didn't go out there and on the first round of the US Open say at Pebble, oh, I'm gonna win by 12. You know, no. He just went out there, kept to his strategy, played well, made putts, and then at the end of the day, oh wow, I shot a 65, I won by 12. Wow. Yeah, but it's a result, you know.
That's a great lesson. I mean, to me, you just refresh that, how important that is for me. I think everybody listening to this should take that advice, because it's a game where you just play the shots in front of you, enjoy that shot that's in front of you. I like that comment. Enjoy the shot that's in front of you.
Yeah.
Hit the best shot you can. And you're a master at that. I mean, that's one skill I've seen you really, you know, when I've played golf with you, you play that shot, you know, you just play that shot that's in front of you. And then you're like, okay, I let it go and I go deal with the next shot, one shot at a time. And you also have a real appreciation for, you appreciate golf shots in a way that, yeah. That, you know what I'm saying? You appreciate a good shot, and you appreciate even a bad shot, because you tend to learn from the bad shots or whatever. And you don't take it that seriously. You don't overanalyze it. You just kind of go play the next shot. I'm so glad to hear you talk about the control you're having on the golf ball right now. The fact that the driver is staying, it's not hooking, it's you know, you got a straight shot or a to the right, and I know exactly why that is. It's so great. I love to hear that. And it sounds like you're able to control your distances with the shorter clubs with some controlled swings. I saw some of those swings, by the way, that your dad posted, some of the 7-iron face on view shots that he sent were just fantastic. I love that. So, man, it's just, I'm so proud of you. I really am so proud of you and what you're doing out there. So I'm excited for you.
And one of the things that I want to add, for example, when I was really struggling with off the tee back a few years ago, I mean, I was still playing tournaments and stuff like that. So I'd hit one way offline. If you don't have that skill to move on and focus on that next shot, I mean, I would have probably been retired by now, because I would hit in the trees and somehow I would forget about that 30-yard slice or 40-yard hook I just hit and then focus on that next shot. And somehow I wasn't playing as well as I am now, but I would still somehow shoot some good rounds with terrible driving. But that was just because I knew that the next shot was important. For example, you'd see Tiger back in the past. He hit in the trees and he'd have a 15 footer for birdie the next shot, because he'd hit a low slice or a high draw and he'd hit on the green. And then some other guys that were playing with him and hit the middle of the fairway and missed the green. And you're like, what just happened? You know, like, golf is a crazy sport, and it's one of the only sports where I feel like every single shot counts. You know, like, for example, you're playing, I don't know, soccer, you know, you have a easy shot to make a goal, you miss it. Yeah, the game you might have not made a goal, but the game is still 0-0. You can still, even if you hit the worst kick ever, like, you could have shanked it and it's fine, you know, like, it's still 0-0. In golf, you hit a shank, it's gonna cost you a lot more than if you just miss it by 2 yards, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a sport where you really have to be focused and you can't really let a bad shot affect the rest of your round, you know, because and a lot of times, you know, especially guys who are trying to break 90, break 80, they hit one bad shot and they're like, oh my God, what am I doing? I have to fix my swing. I have to do this. I have to, instead of just being like, okay, I missed it, whatever. The next shot, I'm going to do a good swing and see what happens. Yeah. But it's hard to do that.
So, and I coach this and I don't think I'm good at coaching this, but I people always ask me, well, when you hit a bad shot on the course, what do you do? And I'm like, nothing. I just go back to making good swings, right? Yeah. I don't try to fix anything. And you don't either. You just go make good swings. You've put the hours in. And I gotta tell you a story about you, which I don't know if you remember, but we were in Phoenix and we were working on the range and I was afraid to make a change. I remember saying to you, look, I'm gonna make a big change here. I don't want, and you said, Todd, you're talking to me. And what you meant by that was, I'll work through this. You just tell me what you want me to do and I'll figure it out because I'll work my way through it. There's a level of confidence that you build the swing. You put the time in, build the swing, and then you just go trust that and use it. Is it going to hit some bad shots? Yeah. Golf, you will hit bad shots. I hit bad shots. You hit bad shots. But you always know that the swing is there and that you just get it back on track and you just keep getting it back on track and you'll hit some good shots and you play it one shot at a time. And you're really good about that. I think you're a good coach as well. I think you're really good about helping people understand that it's a game where you play one shot at a time, but you got to build that swing so you can go out there and trust it. And then you're willing to put the work in and make the changes. And you know, we've worked through some of that in the last couple of years, but you're good at coaching that. And then it's really good to hear you talk about that.
Yeah. It's one of the things I think I've had to learn throughout the years. And for example, I played the first round with one of my good friends here, who's a good player, but he's been kind of struggling with his swing. And you could tell. I mean, you can tell that. I mean, we started off and I think it was like hole 3 or 4, he hit a big hook. And I could tell that at that moment, his round ended. Because he's golf swing, what I have to do, what did I do wrong? You know, instead of just, okay, I missed it, hit the worst shot ever. It's fine. I'll do the same thing I was doing because I know I can hit shots. And obviously he ended up shooting a really big number. Shot probably like, I don't know, like 5 or 6 over. But if he wasn't thinking of that, you know, if that one swing didn't affect him that much, he could have probably shot under par that day.
Yeah.
I mean, his iron game was stellar that day, but you could tell that with off the tee, he was just thinking golf swing. You know, he was trying to fix everything, you know, and
do you think, do you think all of your struggles, and I know the answer to this, I'm just asking this hypothetically, but do you know the struggle you've had, you know, before I met you and, you know, you got so much swing speed and, you know, you really have to dial your swing in and obviously you're learning to control that speed, but do you think all those struggles have really helped you to this point? I mean, how has that been a blessing?
Oh, for sure.
Been a blessing. Yeah.
For I think sure. So. It's, I mean, obviously, I could say, yeah, you know what? Like, I wish I would have been on tour when I was 20, you know? But if you don't learn from those things and you don't think that those things have made you who you are today, and I mean, I could have maybe never struggled with my driver or with my ball striking, and maybe I would have never developed my short game, or maybe I would have never developed the attitude I had, or you know, you never know, you know? So, it's way better to think, I mean, I can't tell for sure, but I know for a fact that if I just learn from those things and I get through it and I don't give up, it's going to make me better.
So giving up's the problem. Giving up's the problem. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. I agree.
Giving up the problem.
Yeah. I agree. It's that learning from the mistakes, learning from the frustrations, because you have been through as many as anybody. Frustrated with your swing, your ball striking, your playing, but you always knew behind the scenes that you were going to figure it out, work your way through it. And that has been a massive learning experience, but that is golf. That is how we do this. That is, and I tell people this all the time. I've never seen anybody good at golf that didn't work at it. Like you have to work at this game. And you got to put the time in, you got to build the skills, and then you got to go learn from it. And you got to play with it. And just because you're good at it doesn't mean you're always going to play well. So it's an amazing game. I think that's why we love it so much. I think it's why it's the most challenging game in the world. And I think it's why it's going to take guys like you that have built that courage and that skill level that'll be able to win tournaments. And it's just, I wish people understood that, what it takes. And you definitely have done that. You deserve every bit of it. And I know you're going to do some amazing things going forward.
Thank you, Todd.
It's
been a long journey, but, it's crazy to think. I was almost about to give up right after college. Not give up, but give up like my dream to be a professional golfer. I always wanted to play golf. I can't live without golf. But I started working after college. I had a 9-to-5 job for 6 months, and I wasn't practicing, but I'd still try to get better. I'd still try to go at 7 at night to the range, hit some balls, but yeah, I'm very happy that I stuck to my gut, and that I decided that it was time to make that call to move to try to play professional. And I think one of the biggest things that helps you is just competing.
Yeah.
Even if it's competing with your friends,
Yeah.
If you don't have anyone to compete with, it's very hard to get better.
Yeah.
Hard to get better.
That's a great point.
For example, all these tournaments that I've played, playing good, playing bad, all those experiences help you.
Yeah.
They all help you, and they all make you a better player. And for example, today I know that I can go out there and not have my best golf and still shoot a 6-under.
Yeah.
I know that. Where when I was little, I would think that to shoot a 6-under, I had to hit every single shot perfect, make every putt,
Yeah.
Now I know that golf is not like that. You just gotta. I was listening to Hank Haney's podcast, and he said that one of the 3 things that you really have to eliminate. Sometimes they happen, obviously, but 3 putts, penalty shots off the tee, and double chips. If you can avoid those 3 things in a round, you're gonna do good.
Yeah.
You're gonna do good.
That's true.
If you miss the green and you don't double chip and you don't 3 putt, the maximum you're gonna do is a bogey.
Yeah.
And a bogey won't kill you.
Yeah.
But what kills you are those big things, big numbers.
The other thing that I may have learned this from Hank, because I spent a lot of time with Hank, is marking after your first putt. So like if you marking after your first putt, because if you're having to read your second putt, you got speed problems. So you should be able to putt it, tap it in, putt it, putt it, make it, or putt it, tap it in. If you're marking after that first putt, so I remember I was in a round with Tom Watson. And I was in the cart with Tom, but he was playing, and we were talking about his round. And even his chips, when he would chip the ball, he never had to mark it.
Yeah, that's
how you play.
Yeah. And you see it out on tour. I remember watching Phil growing up. Even if he missed a green, you'd still probably think he's gonna make it off flop shot. You're like, yeah, this guy can't make bogeys. He misses a green, he's gonna make a par.
Okay, so Roberto, I'm committing you to something here on this podcast. I have this young guy I'm working with in California. He's 15, almost 16 years old. And next time I see you, I want you to connect with this kid, because I cannot get him to focus on his wedge game. He hits it fine. Like if you go play around a golf with him, you're like, dude, you hit it fine for your size and your age. He probably hits, 6-7 greens regulation. He should never shoot really probably over par. But you get a wedge in his hand, he'll hit a wedge on the green and then 3 putt. He literally struggles. And I'm like, dude, you just gotta live with your wedge. You gotta sleep with your wedge. you have to, you know, I mean, like you, you know that if you go have a bad ball striking day, that your short game will make up for all your issues, right? You know that because you have a great short game and you putt. And that's what you have to build. You got to build the bottom side of your game, especially at the level you're playing, because I know that if you go hit 17 greens regulation, that, you know, you're going to shoot some low numbers. I know that if you go hit 10 greens regulation, you should still shoot even par or better. You probably should shoot 4 or 5 yeah. under, right?
I remember one time I went, this is a junior golf tournament. We went to Puerto Rico and it was a Puerto Rico junior golf. It was an AJGA tournament. And I went with one of my friends and we were staying together and we got paired the last round together. And we're like, we made a bet. We're like, okay, whoever has the higher round today has to pay for the hotel today. My friend hit, we were playing together. He hit 18 greens in regulation, all of them. Didn't miss one. I don't think he missed a single shot all day. He shot 3 under. I hit 4 greens in regulation. I shot 3 under. He was so mad.
That's it. That's how you do it. I wish people understood that it shouldn't really ball striking like, just put you in position, but you got to have a short game.
Like one of the videos you have with Mo where he's hitting wedges. He's like, he says the wedge is the only club you don't have like a full swing, you know, even variation. If you're, for example, I don't know if you, even if you're hitting a 3/4 8 iron, it's still almost a full swing, you know, and a wedge, you have to have that finesse where, I mean, you even have to control the trajectory. You have to think about the way it's going to bounce, you know, and all of that comes by practice and by trusting in your wedges. And I mean, wedges are, I mean, for example, my cousin that I was telling you that he hits the ball great. He has an awesome swing. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen him hit a wedge close to the hole. And I've seen him hit 270 yards, three woods right next to the hole. But I have never seen him hit a wedge close because he probably never practices wedges and he probably doesn't care about wedges. And wedges, for example, if I didn't have good wedges this week, I would have finished 20th, you know?
Yeah. Well, what funny thing is that people don't know about Mo is that when he would do a clinic or when I would go spend time with him, he would always talk about the wedges before any of his ball striking. He always talked about wedges before his ball striking, how important the wedge can save your game, how this is the club you should spend all your time with. Then he would hit golf balls. Everybody was amazed at his golf swing. But he was really good with his wedges, but no one really gives him much credit for it because everybody loved watching him hit golf balls. But he was an amazing wedge player. And back when he played, he didn't have the crazy lofted spinny wedges with all the face angles and stuff now. He basically had to control it with the crap that they were playing with back in the day. So he always talked about how he would like to two bounce a wedge and how he, you know, where you got to leave it below the hole. He had so many things he did with the wedges that people never really paid much attention to, but he understood the game and he understood how important the wedge game is, you know, and how important it is to putting. You know, if you're hitting your shots 10 feet past the hole and you're having downhill sliding putts all day long, You're hitting bad wedge shots into the green. You're that's a strategy problem. That's not a putting problem, right? So
yeah. For example, at last round I was playing, I on hole 14 it was a par 4, kind of tied off the tee. I hit a 3-1. I tried to hit a little draw and it just went straight and it took a bad hop and I was probably like 100 yards from the hole. But I was blocked out by some trees and I had a decision I had to make. The pin was in a very tough spot and I could either hit it in between a small gap towards the bunker by the green, or maybe if I got lucky, bounce it up and go in the green. Or I could have hit it. I mean, I could have also hit it, I don't know, 30, 20, 30, 40 yards from the hole. But I thought to myself, you know, if I hit it there, I'm not going to be able to spin it, you know? And that's a tough pin. So I'm not kidding you. I moved the ball. I went sideways and I moved the ball 5 yards. Just like a little chip. No, I mean, everyone was like, whoa, what is he doing?
Wow.
And because I went and I measured where I knew I was going to be able to spin it.
Wow.
And I just chipped it 5 yards to the sideways.
Wow.
And I hit it to 2 feet from there.
Wow.
Made par.
What a great freaking lesson. What a great story. They understood that you basically hit a ball 5 yards so you could spin the ball correctly to keep it below the hole, and make the putt versus try some risky thing and plug it in the bunker, whatever might happen.
My tournament could have ended in that hole. If I took the wrong decision and it was a small gap I had to hit it through. So if I hit the tree, maybe it goes. I mean, I could have made a double, you know, and that would have been just devastating.
But knowing your wedges and knowing how far you hit it and having confidence your wedge, you just hit it to your wedge and hit it in there and made putt. What a great easy par,
you know.
That's awesome. That's that right there. And that's why I wanted to get you on this podcast, because it's things like that guys, you know, everybody's trying to play miracle golf out there. You know, this miracle, like every shot has to be a miracle. And you're sitting there saying, man, just hit the shot you got, play the one that's in front of you, be smart about it. And just hearing you talk about that stuff is so valuable, I think. So thank you for that. That's incredible. It's great stories. I can almost walk through every shot. And by the way, you're really good at verbalizing your shots, like walking us through it. Cause I like to hear that stuff. So maybe we just got to get you on more podcasts so you can talk us through your round. So I love talking about it. It's great. Yeah. Well, hey, I know you got to run. I'm making an invitation. You got to come back and see me here in Oklahoma whenever you get a chance to get some time.
Yes. As soon as I can, I'll go and visit you.
Great. And so I want to go play national with you some more. The greens are impossible. So we'll go out there and beat it around. They're impossible last time you were here. They're impossible now. But it's fun. I love having you out here and I love spending time with you. If I don't talk to you this week, play really well this week, have another great week, shoot some low numbers, shot by shot, but you'll do that. And thanks so much for hopping on here with me. I really appreciate you.
Of course, thank you for having me and for those kind words.
Thanks, Roberto. Thank you. All right, well, say hi to your father, and I'll catch up with you this week sometime.
Sounds good.
See ya.